Good morning. This morning, when we get to communion, we'll come forward like we did last week. You know, don't just fall in line, okay? When you come up. All right. Let's begin in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Our help is in the name of the Lord. If you, O Lord, kept a record of sins, O Lord, who could stand?
But for you there is forgiveness, therefore you are forgiven.
Since we are gathered to hear God's word, call upon Him in prayer and praise, and receive the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ in the fellowship of this altar, let us first consider our unworthiness and confess before God and one another that we have sinned in thought, word, and deed, and that we cannot free ourselves from our sinful condition. Together as His people, let us take refuge in the infinite mercy of God, our Heavenly Father, seeking His grace for the sake of Christ, and saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Almighty God, have mercy upon us, forgive us our sins, and lead us to everlasting life. Amen. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, has forgiven us our sins through Jesus Christ, and by Christ's authority, I therefore forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Arise, O Lord, O God, lift up your hand. The Lord is King forever and ever. O Lord, you hear the desire of the afflicted. You will incline your ear to do justice to the fatherless and the oppressed. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, as it was in the beginning, arise, O Lord, O God, lift up your hand. Thank you. Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Almighty God, you know we live in the midst of so many dangers that in our frailty we cannot stand upright. Grant strength and protection to support us in all dangers and carry us through all temptations. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. The Old Testament reading for this morning, the fourth Sunday after Epiphany, is taken from the book of Jeremiah, chapter 1, beginning at verse 4. Now the word of the Lord came to me, saying, Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you, and before you were born, I consecrated you. I appointed you a prophet to the nations. Then I said, Ah, Lord God, behold, I do not know how to speak, for I am only a youth. But the Lord said to me, Do not say I am only a youth, for to all whom I send you, you shall go, and wherever I command you, you shall speak. Do not be afraid of them, for I am with you to deliver you, declares the Lord. Then the Lord put out his hand and touched my mouth, and the Lord said to me, Behold, I have put my word in your mouth. See, I have set you this day over nations and over kingdoms to pluck up and to break down, to destroy and to overthrow, to build and to plant. This is the word of the Lord.
Praise
the Lord, all nations. For great is the steadfast love toward us,
and the faithfulness of the Lord is forever.
Ascribe to the Lord the glory due his name. The epistle lesson for this morning is taken from 1 Corinthians chapter 12, beginning with verse 31. I will show you a still more excellent way. If I speak in the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I am a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. And if I have a prophetic powers and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith so as to remove mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. If I give away all I have, and if I deliver up my body to be burned, but have not love, I gain nothing. Love is patient and kind. Love does not envy or boast. It is not arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice at wrongdoing, but rejoices with the truth. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never ends. As for prophecies, they will pass away. As for tongues, they will cease. As for knowledge, it will pass away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when the perfect comes, the partial will pass away. When I was a child, I spoke like a child, I thought like a child, I reasoned like a child. When I became a man, I gave up childish ways. For now we see in a mirror dimly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, then I shall know fully, even as I have been fully known. So now faith, hope, and love abide, these three. But the greatest of these is love. This is the word of the Lord. Please rise.
Alleluia.
I must preach the good news of the kingdom of God to the other towns as well, for I was sent for this purpose. The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 4th chapter. Jesus went down to Capernaum, a city of Galilee, and he was teaching them on the Sabbath. And they were astonished at his teaching, for the word possessed authority. And in the synagogue there was a man who had the spirit of an unclean demon. And he cried out with a loud voice, "Ha! What have you to do with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God." But Jesus rebuked him, saying, "Be silent, and come out of him." And when the demon had thrown him down in their midst, he came out of him, having done him no harm. And they were all amazed, and said to one another, "What is this word? For with authority and power he commands the unclean spirits, and they come out." And reports about him went out into every place in the surrounding region. And he arose and left the synagogue and entered Simon's house. Now Simon's mother-in-law was ill with a high fever, and they appealed to him on her behalf. And he stood over her and rebuked the fever, and it left her. And immediately she rose and began to serve them. Now when the sun was setting, all those who had any who were sick with various diseases brought them to him. And he laid his hands on every one of them and healed them. And demons also came out of many, crying, "You are the Son of God." But he rebuked them and would not allow them to speak, because they knew that he was the Christ. And when it was day, he departed and went into a desolate place, and the people sought him and came to him and would have kept him from leaving them. But he said to them, "I must preach the good news of the kingdom of God to other towns as well, for I was sent for this purpose." And he was preaching in the synagogues of Judea. This is the gospel of the Lord. Let us join in confessing our faith in the words of the Nicene Creed. I believe
in one God, the Father Almighty, Maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, and not of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who is
grace and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Jeremiah was called as a young man to do something special. He was called to preach the Word of God to other people. The Word that Jesus preached was that Word as well. For God sent Jesus to proclaim good news to us, and we hear Him doing so in the Gospel. If Jeremiah knew what his life was going to be like, he probably would have said, "No, thank you, I'll pass." You know, because he did become a thorn in the flesh of his own nation, of the king, of the queen, of other people, finally, who just said, "All he is a speaker of doom and gloom." They even nicknamed him that. But it's important to note the words that God says to him. "See, I have set you this day over nations and over kingdoms to pluck up and to break down, to destroy and to overthrow, to build and to plant." That was his ministry. That doesn't sound like something I would want to do. It doesn't sound like something you'd probably want to do either. I mean, after all, he's saying, "I have set you to pluck up and to break down, to destroy and to overthrow." What kind of ministry could that possibly be? And yet, isn't it the ministry that Christ Himself does? Jesus said, "I didn't come into the world to bring peace into the world, but a sword." His word cuts into our heart. We are taken captive by His Word as we realize our spiritual condition and how indeed we need God to rescue us, because we are unequipped, but not God. He's able to do the things that need to be done. And sometimes for Jeremiah, what he would find out and what others would find out along the way, others who spoke the Word of God, is sometimes you must pluck up, you must destroy and overthrow in order for the new to come. Now, of course, God wasn't telling him he was going to do anything with weapons other than God's Word, because that's the only weapon God gave Jeremiah. He sent Jeremiah to proclaim a day and a need of repentance. His people needed to turn back to God. They had turned away and were worshiping false idols. God was warning them, whereas the king was saying, no, we've got our allies. They'll help us in the day of trouble. Do not worry. Don't listen to Jeremiah. Even his advisors told the king, don't listen to him. And yet Jeremiah spoke the truth to them. Jeremiah told them they were going to be taken into captivity. Who wants to hear that kind of news? But it was for a purpose, and that purpose was to bring the people back to God, to bring them back to true worship of the true God and not idols that are made by hands. And that's where to build and plant comes. Once God separates our self-righteousness from our hearts, then He is able to build us up. And He does so with His Holy Spirit. He has always done this very thing. It is nothing new. And one day, even though the words of Jeremiah came true and the people were taken into captivity, God would never stop being their God. It would be in a harder place. It would be worse circumstance. But it would bring them finally to their knees and a recognition that they are the ones who turn from God and God, not from them. They'll remember the words of Jeremiah, and indeed they do, because this word is written down and will be read in the synagogues time and time again. They would remember how God was merciful and how God rescued them, how God tore out the bad so that He could put in the good. And in a sense, that's what Jesus is doing. The people in His day are having a hard time of following the rules, all the different commands and all the different rules that have been put in place by the teachers of the law and the Pharisees. Indeed, many of them were considered outside the kingdom of God and had no place with Christ. And yet it is to these that Christ comes. And we hear that in the scriptures today, that He speaks to them in the synagogue and teaches them, and they marvel because He speaks with one who has authority. That is, He doesn't speak as one who is expounding on the Word of God, but He speaks as one who is the writer. He speaks with authority. It's kind of like the day that the disciples get in the boat with Jesus and they're off and a storm arises and Jesus is sleeping undisturbed by the whole thing. And the disciples panic. And they wake Him and say, "Don't you care what's happening to us? Look, the boat's filling with water. We're going to drown." And Jesus just speaks to the storm and it stops. And they marvel because of the authority He has. Christ has authority over nature. Christ has authority over demons. Christ has authority over diseases. That's what we hear in the gospel lesson today, how He healed all of many different kinds of sicknesses, because there were many that brought their sick friends and relatives to Jesus. They were enamored by His ability, but Jesus later would chide, not in this part here, but at some point He will say to those who are doubting who He is, "If you don't believe because of my words, then at least believe because of the work I do, the signs that you see." But they won't have it. Eventually, they will arrest Him. Eventually, He will be punished and hung, crucified on a cross. It would seem that it is all political, and yet there is more behind it, because God has started something new. He is tearing down the old to bring in God's new creation. It is the new creation that Jesus ushers in with the words, "It is finished," and with an empty tomb. It is here that we see our salvation come to completion. And yet there's more. Because Christ promises us that just as He has been raised, so He will come back and raise all the dead. And then the old will completely be gone. It will all melt away. But for now, we walk like in two worlds. We walk in this world, and yet we have one foot firmly planted in heaven, in a sense. It sounds kind of crazy to say that, and yet it is true, because God, He comes and dwells in each one of us. And that's His promise. We have His Spirit given to us as a guarantee of all that has taken place, all that we have learned from Scripture. The Holy Spirit is our guarantee from God that we are now His for the sake of Christ, not because of anything we have done. How hard is it to keep the Word of God? It is impossible for us. When you read Corinthians and Paul talks to those Christians, there's a lot of factions in the church of Corinth. And yet he has to break them down. They have to see their sinfulness in what they are bragging about and boasting in. They're bragging about spiritual gifts and they're boasting in those things. They're bragging about their financial welfare or lack of over those who lack, rather. They need to be broken down so that Paul, through God's word, is able to deliver them a message of gospel so that they can be built back up and see who God means for them to be. They aren't meant for what they think. God didn't give them their gifts that God gave them so that they could use them for their own vain glory. No, it was given to them so that they could build up one another and support one another as God's church. But they aren't doing it. So Paul tells them, look, if I had the gifts you have and you don't have love, then it's fruitless. It's nothing. And then he goes on to tell them what love is like. Love is patient and kind. Love does not envy or boast. It is not arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice at wrongdoing, but rejoices with the truth. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never ends. What a radical view of love. I think if you asked anyone on the street what love is, I'm sure you would get a lot of answers, but I don't think you would get this answer. You probably wouldn't, unless you were talking to a Christian who had memorized this verse. They might say it, but probably not. Probably not. We might talk about self-sacrificing love. We might talk about what Jesus did and say, well, that's love. We might say, well, God is love. And all of that would be true. But love is more than that. There's that brotherly love that we share with one another. There is a love that two people have for one another when they first meet. And their hearts flutter and they get all emotional about their relationship. Yet this love is deeper than all of that. This love is a love that is self-giving. This love is something really you and I are incapable of, and yet I'm always amazed by the couples who I've counseled for marriage who want to have this verse read, and I think, well, okay. But do you understand what's being said here? Because this kind of love, I don't believe you and I can do. We might fulfill parts of it, but are we endless in it? Because that's the kind of love that Paul is talking about. This love goes on. This love bears all things, and it does. I think the best way to describe what Paul is saying is to say, Jesus. I think those words describe him above all, because that's who he is. So Christ fills us up with his love so that we can love as he has loved us. We won't do it perfectly, but nevertheless, we will do these things. We won't think about it and say, how should I love? Christ will direct you in how that is. That love may be self-sacrifice. That love may be giving from what the abundance you have. That love may be any sort of thing. It may be giving someone the coat off your back or a pair of gloves that are on your hands to someone who has none. Love is that way. I remember hearing a man once talk about how he had learned what real love is. And he was a Christian. He was a layman. He wasn't a pastor, but he talked about this man he knew who he said was kind of living by himself and he wasn't clean. He didn't take showers. He didn't really change his clothes. And he said, the first time I walked into his house, it reeked of body odor and urine. He took it upon himself to go and clean that man's house and to get him new clothes. But he said, all the time he did that, he said, the man always grumbled and never thanked him. But he wasn't doing it to receive thanks. He was doing it because no one else was doing it, and this man needed help. So he did. And then one day he said that the day came that this man died. And he said, I cried. I wept. He was honoring, not a good word ever out of his mouth. And yet I realized I loved him. He understood what Paul is talking about in this passage. That's the kind of self-sacrificing love Jesus has for us, because he comes into our house that reeks and smells of sin and disease. And he comes and he sets it right. He cleans out our souls and he gives us his Spirit. And he makes us his brothers and sisters. And that is what we are. The people were so enamored by Jesus, they wanted him to stay with them. But Jesus said, I have other places to go. There are other people that need this message too. And so Jesus would move on to other synagogues and do the same as he had done here. This is our God in action. This is our God who is love. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. Let us rise for the prayers of the church. Let us pray for the whole church of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs. Gracious Creator, your Son commanded demons and they obeyed him, so that afflicted people were set free. Cast out the forces of darkness, both open and hidden in our world. Give courage, faith, peace, and relief to our brotherhood throughout the world who suffer for the sake of Christ, and hold your children in your care. Lord, in your mercy. Holy One, your Son taught with authority. Through those called into his holy ministry, use that authority to forgive sins, strengthen faith, and empower lives of good works, that the people of this world would see your love in us. Lord, in your mercy. Forgive our sins, Lord, especially the false acts that cannot pass for real love. Enable us to reflect your love, which is patient and kind, does not envy or boast, is not arrogant or rude, and does not insist on its own way. Fill our lives with good works that truly care for others. Lord, in your mercy. Gracious Lord, we give you thanks for the gift of marriage and family. Make the relationship between each husband and wife a picture of Christ's ceaseless love for his bride, the church, that we may live in your forgiving love. Grant parents your care as they raise their children, and give every father and mother a zeal that points them constantly to your ways and your forgiveness. Fill children with obedience, respect, and love for their parents. Lord, in your mercy. Amen. Almighty God, you know all things, and the words of your mouth stand over nations and over kingdoms, able to pluck up and break down, destroy and overthrow. Rule by your might, that our nation may be governed and preserved. Do not let us be dismayed as citizens in this world or of your kingdom, for you are King above all. Lord, in your mercy. O Lord, arise, forget not the afflicted, but hear their desires and strengthen their hearts. We lift up to you Pastor Scott and Judy Stalling, Sandra Avila, Jan Johnson, Robert Galabias, Alfred Durson, Jeff Schaffner, Edward Russell, Don and Donna Tolner, Nelson Meyer, Robert and Donna Knuth, and the family of Ray Holbrecht. Lord, in your mercy, Father, we praise you for all who have lived and died with faith in Christ and now rest in your presence. Unite us with your Son and with those saints as we eat and drink his life-giving body and blood at this altar. Grant us repentant hearts as we receive your gift and strengthen us to care for the needs of others in the way of Christ, our Savior. Lord, in your mercy. And to your hands, O Lord, we commend all for whom we pray, trusting in your mercy through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. All that we have is thine alone, a trust, O Lord, from thee. Amen. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is
truly good, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, O Lord, Holy Father, Almighty and Everlasting God, for the countless blessings you so freely bestow on us and all creation. Above all, we give thanks for your boundless love shown to us when you sent your only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, into our flesh and laid on him our sin, and giving him into death that we might not die eternally, Because he is now risen from the dead and lives and reigns to all eternity, all who believe in him will overcome sin and death and will rise again to new life. Therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name evermore, praising you and saying, blessed are you, O Lord, our God, King of all creation, for you have had mercy on us and given your only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. As the glory of your presence once filled your ancient temple, so in the incarnation of your Son, Jesus Christ, you manifested the fullness of your glory in human flesh. We give you thanks that in his most holy supper, you reveal your glory to us. Grant us faithfully to eat his body and drink his blood, so that we may one day behold your glory face to face. Hear us as we pray in his name and as he has taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it, and he gave it to his disciples, and said, take, eat, this is my body which is given for you, this do in remembrance of me. In the same way also, after the supper, he took the cup, and when he had blessed it, he gave it to them, saying, drink of it, all of you. This is my blood in the New Testament shed for you for the remission of all your sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. The peace of the Lord be with you always. Take and eat the true body. Take and eat the true body of Christ given for you. The true body of Christ given for you. Take and drink the true blood of Christ shed for you. The true blood of Christ shed for you. The body and blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ strengthen you and preserve you in body and soul into life everlasting. Amen. Depart in peace and joy. Lord, now let your servant depart in heavenly peace, for I have seen the glory of your redeeming grace. A light to lead the Gentiles unto your holy hill. The glory of your people, your chosen Israel. All glory to the Father, all glory to the Son, all glory to the Spirit, forever three and one. For as in the beginning, is now, shall ever be, God's triune name resounding through all eternity. Let us pray. Gracious God, our Heavenly Father, you have given us a foretaste of the feast to come and the Holy Supper of your Son's body and blood. Keep us firm in the true faith throughout our days of pilgrimage, that on the day of his coming we may, together with all your saints, celebrate the marriage feast of the Lamb and his kingdom, which has no end. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Let us bless the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Receive the benediction. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious unto you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. Amen. And let it be consecrated, Lord, to thee. Take my moments and my days, let them flow in ceaseless praise. Take my hands and let them move at the impulse of thy love. Take my feet and let them be swift and beautiful for thee. Take my voice and let me sing, always only for my King. Take my lips and let them be filled with messages from thee. Take my silver and my gold, not a would I collect and use. Every power as thou shalt choose. Take my will and make it thine. It shall be no longer mine. Take my heart, it is thine own. It shall be thy royal throne. Take my love, my Lord, I pour. At thy feet is treasure stored. Myself and I will be ever only all for thee.